And by now, you've probably heard that Ben Bradlee, the former editor of The Washington Post, who stood by reporters Bob Woodward and Carl Bernstein as they pursued the Watergate scandal, has died. Part of his legacy, that Watergate investigation, led to 40 people going to prison and President Richard Nixon resigning.
Here is Ben Bradlee in 2006 speaking to his friend Jim Lehrer on the PBS NewsHour about his work.
It changes your life, the pursuit of truth. And it, at least if you know that you have tried to find the truth and gone past the first apparent truth, towards the real truth. It's very exciting, I find.
We want to talk to David Folkenflik, NPR's media correspondent, about Ben Bradlee's passing. And David, you know, we've been hearing in your reporting about his role in Watergate, the Pentagon Papers. We want you to elaborate on that in a bit. But the New York Times also printed those secret war documents. So for the people thinking, didn't he do what editors do? Can you try to start by explaining why Ben Bradlee was such a lion? You know, how does he compare to other editors in history?
I think he's really a defining editor of the, second half of the 20th century, in a role that supersedes mere newspapering to journalism itself. He combined two twin impulses that I think were both admirable and attractive to journalists and to readers. And those impulses, I'd say, was that he really believed in standing for something. He sought that out throughout his career at the Post in particular. And he also embraced a great sense of fun, of brio. And I think one of the things he goaded his reporters and his journalists to do was to really reflect the fun of the world around him. He looked at the dry, drab slabs of prose that often emanated from newspapers, including his own in his early years. And he says, you know, we can do better than this. And he really reinvented the pages of the Post, as well as reinventing the metabolism of it and of setting the sights higher for the Post in a way that transformed journalism.
We had a magnetism. Jeremy, I was thinking, I heard a historian, John Meacham, say this morning, I am very heterosexual, but I was one of the men who just, there was almost a sexual attraction to Ben Bradlee. He had this kind of magnetism for people, which, you know, at times he led them, you know, into war. We want to hear the war that the paper waged over the Pentagon Papers. Maybe sometimes they followed him and they shouldn't have. But take up the Pentagon Papers, David. Just remind people, things like Watergate and Pentagon seem facile when they're in a movie. They were scary at the time.
Right. None of this was foreordained, right? And we think of Watergate and we think of the great, you know, Oscar-winning movie, All the President's Men, which really was electric to me as a young reporter and has a lot of that power today. But the Pentagon Papers several years earlier were a moment where the relationship with the government and the press was really about to be defined. And it was over whether or not the New York Times could publish the secret history of the Vietnam War. If you think of the era in the early 1970s, it was a time of tumult and protest and anger over America's role in Vietnam, a situation that Nixon had inherited, of course, under President Johnson. But nonetheless, the New York Times had obtained this. Daniel Ellsberg was going to press with it. The Nixon administration was enjoining him from publishing that. And the Times took it all the way up to the Supreme Court. What Ben Bradlee did with the support of Katharine Graham, the head of the Washington Post, and the company, its parent company, was to say, not we stand askance from our competitor, the Times, but we will stand shoulder to shoulder with you. And this did two things. It broadened the aperture so that it wasn't just a fight between Nixon and those crazies at the New York Times, but it was a fight between the White House and the press writ large. And it took on that kind of titanic focus when it was adjudicated by the Supreme Court. And also it said to the world, to journalism, and particularly to the newsroom of the Washington Post, we are an equal of the New York Times. You know, Bradlee had essentially taken over what had been a pretty mediocre paper in the nation's capital in the 1960s, and he was trying to force it to a place at the grown-ups table and a really select group. What occurred was that he ensured that the Post not only stood up for journalistic principle, but also that the Post had earned its place at the table of a very select group of news organizations.
Well, and you mentioned the New York Times, and we spoke earlier this week. I moderated a panel here in Boston with the former executive editor of the New York Times, Jill Abramson, and David Carr of the New York Times. And Jill Abramson talked about Ben Bradlee. This was the night before he died. Let's listen.
He, in my book, is the most consequential editor of my lifetime because I think he made the Washington Post into an incredibly interesting and electric national publication of consequence. And I think, you know, he was the bravest kind of editor during Watergate.
And David, she went on to talk about how the Post's editors and reporters stayed loyal to Bradley even during a scandal on his watch when the Washington Post had to return its 1981 Pulitzer won by reporter Janet Cook for a story that turned out to have been made up.
Right. And it was a story – I think it's a telling incident for journalists and for the public generally. It was a story called Jimmy's World about an 8-year-old heroin user and addict. But Jimmy didn't exist and his family didn't exist. And there were these little warning signs where, you know, editors along the way had said, you know, can you introduce us to Jimmy's family or can we learn more? And the reporter Janet Cook wasn't able to fill in some of those blanks. People at the Post wanted to believe this story. They wanted to believe the story because it was electric. They wanted to believe the story because it was heartbreaking and seemed to signal what was undeniably true, that the scourge of drugs was destroying families in this incredibly compelling story and package. And they wanted to believe it because Janet Cook herself was a young African-American woman, very stylish writer, very promising talent. And, you know, Ben Bradley had wanted to make sure that African-Americans would rise in his paper after all the dominant paper in what was becoming a strongly African-American city. And, you know, the desire to believe can even lead great journalists astray. And I think that Watergate had in some ways emboldened Bradley and, among others, Bob Woodward, then atop the Metro desk at The Washington Post and seemingly on his way to fill Ben Bradley's shoes, that their instinct was golden and that they couldn't be led astray. And in fact, their desire to believe led one of their young protégés to be able to hoodwink them all.
We're speaking with David Folkenflik, and this is Here and Now. And David, one more thing. There are critics of the kind of investigative journalism that Ben Bradley championed, book titles like From Watergate to Monica Gate, and some journalists who feel that after Watergate, the press went overboard in thinking it had to be adversarial at all times.
Well, look, we've got to recognize what an incredible act of courage it was to embark on Watergate and their continued investigations at a time that much of the rest of the press dismissed it as a caper or thought of it as a Post obsession. That said, there was this notion, an almost paranoiac idea, that somehow reporters would find wrong under every rock and couldn't see right sometimes or decency sometimes when it was right in front of them. I think it's hard to blame Ben Bradley, Bob Woodward, and Carl Bernstein for taking the approach they did to Watergate at that time, or at least as relentlessly as they did, when so much was at stake for the nation and for the newspaper.
NPR's media correspondent David Folkenflik with just some thoughts on the life and legacy, big legacy, of former Washington Post editor Ben Bradley. David, thanks so much.
You bet.
And here is a portion of President Obama awarding Ben Bradley the Presidential Medal of Freedom last year.
When Ben retired, Senator Daniel Patrick Moynihan put the admiration of many into a poem. O rare Ben Bradley, his reign has ceased, but his nation stands, its strength increased.
You're listening to Here and Now.